ॐ भद्रं धरणे दुष्यनुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजग्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सृष्टिवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नः साक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
1 verse 7 of the last section.
Gatha Kala Panchadasha Pratishtha Gatha Kala Panchadasha Pratishtha Devascha Sarvam Pratidevatasu Devascha sarvam pratidevatasu Karmani vijnanamayascha atma Karmani vijnanamayascha atma Paredyaye sarva ekhi bhavanti Paredyaye sarva ekhi bhavanti Gataha Kalaha Panchadasha Pratishtha Devaha cha Sarve Prati Devatasu Karmani Vijnanamayaha cha Atma Pare Avyaye It should be sarve. Oh, there's a sandhi there. Okay, sarve eki bhavanti. Okay, the a will drop and just become other. So sarve. Okay. In the previous verse, they said, the Vedanta vijnana sunishtitartaha, those who have jnana nishta, whose knowledge is clear, for them, and have purity of mind, sattva shuddhaha, for them, at the time of death, they say, parantakale, for the time of death, it's the final, for the time of the final, it's for them the final death. Antakale means the end time. Parantakale means the final end time. So what that means, what they're talking about here, is that for a jivan mukta, somebody who has jnana nishta, shrotri, the strength of knowledge, the clarity, and no more paribandhakas, no more obstructions in the way of that knowledge, to cause them to take another birth. For that person, when this body dies, at that time they are just abide as Brahman. There is no more transmigration for them. Right? So, parantakale means at that final, that's their final, that's the final death. Means the sukshma sharira also, the subtle body also, does not continue transmigrating. Whereas for a person who does not have self-knowledge, when the physical body dies, the subtle body will continue because the ajnanam, the ignorance, hasn't been removed. So the subtle body continues transmigrating and you'll take body after body after body. But for one who has self-knowledge means there's no more ajnanam. The only reason you're keeping this physical body once you have self-knowledge is because the prarabdha karmas, the karmas that caused you to take this body, still are exhausting themselves. The karmas that caused you to take the body will take you all the way through a set of experiences. Until those experiences are exhausted, the body will be here. So when you have gained self-knowledge and that the ignorance that caused you to take yourself as a limited being, that ignorance is removed, the physical body still continues on, the subtle body still continues on because these karmas need to be exhausted and you've already entered into empirical reality. And this is Ishwara's reality. This, that having this body, mind, sense organs here and now is now Ishwara's reality. It's not your subjective reality. Right? So once you've entered into objective reality, this objective reality has to play itself out. Right? So your knowledge of who you really are and what is the truth of you, that I am the whole, is not going to get rid of the objective reality which you've already participating in by taking this birth to exhaust these particular karmas. This is an important point. When you gain knowledge of something which is your subjective reality, the knowledge that you gain will remove the subjective projection. Like, for instance, if I see a rope on a snake is the classic example. If I mistake a rope for a snake, if I gain knowledge of the rope, this is a rope, not a snake, the subjective projection goes away, right? And what is left is the reality of the snake. But if I gain knowledge, in contrast to that, if I gain knowledge that the sun is actually, right, is actually stable, and that we are circling around it, and I see it, and I understand it, and I gain nishta in that, right, I'm clear. That is not going to stop that illusion, because I am not responsible for the illusion. Right? I'm not responsible for the illusion of the sunrise and set, but I am responsible for the illusion of the snake. Right? So now, what will happen in terms of my knowledge of the stability of the sun, that I'm circling the sun, that it's not actually rising and setting, my orientation to the sun will change based upon my knowledge, but the illusion won't change. Here, when I gain knowledge, self-knowledge, there's going to be what is subjective projection will change immediately. As I gain knowledge, the subjective projections change in the mind. The objective projections that I'm not responsible for are not going to change. Physical body is an objective projection. It's Ishwara's projection. Right? And so I'm not going to, my knowledge is not going to make that go away. But what takes place in my mind in terms of the way I have related to myself, related to others, where my mind searches for happiness, the projection of my well-being onto the world, those are subjective projections, right? And those subjective projections change. Just like the snake goes away from the rope. My seeing, my ananda as something external to myself, my recognition of self as something which is changing, the identification of my being with this body, for instance, as I am this body, that's a subjective projection. That changes. Because the ahankara now, the ego that used to take itself, the I notion, that used to be take itself to be one with this physical body or one with the body-mind-sense organs, that was your experience because there was a total superposition on the conscious mind that you are, or the consciousness that you are and the mind that you are. So you have a conscious mind. That's your experience, a conscious mind, right? A conscious body. What about when I recognize that the consciousness is something which is stable and the body is changing? The consciousness is stable, the mind is changing. Right? Now instead of having a mind which is consciousness or a body which is consciousness, I have me, the conscious being, which abides in this body, which abides in this universe, which is the stable being. I've recognized it. Right? I've actually recognized the reality of that. Because it's true. If the conscious being that we're talking about is the conscious being that you are. So it's something for the mind to recognize. When the mind sees that, there's a lot of subjective emotions and feelings and orientations that are removed because of that. Right? But the objective projections are not going to be removed until the body dies. Okay? So now, what they're saying in the previous verse is this with the Parantakale. When a person gains knowledge, as long as the prarabdha karmas that caused you to take this birth are exhausting themselves, in other words, as long as they are here until they finish, you will be here with a physical body, sense organs, mind. This upadhi will last because of the prarabdha is lasting. But when the prarabdha is over, the ajnanam that caused the ignorance that caused you to take this physical body, mind, sense organs in the first place is no longer there to keep the subtle body transmigrating after the drop of the physical body. And so because that ignorance has been removed, the subtle body also dissipates, leaving yourself. And so here it says in the Parantikale, when the body and subtle body drops at that end time, then those people who have this jnana nishtha, what do they do? Where do they go? They become completely liberated in Brahmaloka. It's another way of saying it. They became completely liberated in Brahman. So then we went on about this last week. Is there any in Brahman? Is there any place where Brahman is not? No, it means that their self-identity is with Brahman, which is what they are. And so what it means is, as Brahman, they abide, paramrtaha, being completely free from death. So what do you recognize even now as a jivanmukta? Jivanmukta means liberated, muktaha, liberated jivan while living. So here, living as a jivanmukta, is your self, is your sense of self, your being, limited? Is it changing? Is it subject to death? Is it subject to change? And you would say, no, not at all. And so now, say the body drops, the subtle body drops, then where are you? Where do you go? You don't go anywhere. It is you that remain, in fact. You as you are remain. But all of the limiting adjuncts have gone. So now the question is, where do these limiting adjuncts, like the body and the mind and the sense organs and all of the karmas that you've done, all of the things that you've done, where do these things go? Okay. So that's what this verse is dealing with, because you've said parantikale, they abide just in Brahman. Then what happens to the body and the mind and sense organs and all of these things? What happens? So he says, kalaha panchadashaha. A kala is a part. Like a part. Kalaha panchadasha, the 15 parts. 15 parts of the jiva. I'll tell you what they are in a minute. So it comes from the Prashna Upanishad. At the end of the Prashna Upanishad, these are talked about, these 15 parts. So let's go through the verse and then I'll tell you. These 15 parts, gataha, they have gone. The 15 parts that make up the jiva. These 15 parts go, gataha, they go to pratishtaha. They're pratishta. Should be pratishtaha. They go to pratishtaha, means what? They go to their sources. They go to their original sources. So these 15 parts, all of them, they go to their original sources. Devaha chat sarve prati devatasu. All of the devas, all of the sense, devas are the luminous ones, all of the sense organs, and all of the sense organs, they go to their respective devatas, their respective deities. They all go back to their respective deities. Karmani, all of the karmas, vijnanamaya cha atma, and the ahankara. Vijnanamaya is the buddhi, right? The buddhi, the deciding buddhi. So the vijnana, like the vijnanamaya kosha, this buddhi, in which there is the ahankara, the atma in the buddhi. The atma in the buddhi is the ahankara, the I notion. So the karmas and the I notion, all of these things, pare avyaye, sarve, all of them, pare avyaye, eki bhavanti, all of them become one, eki bhavanti, all of them become one, in pare, in the one who is limitless, Brahman, pare avyaye, who is not subject to any type of change or death, pare avyaye sarve eki bhavanti. Okay, so it's interesting. In the Prashna Upanishad, all of the Upanishads will have sometimes verses that are kind of overlapping. And this is one instance of that. And Shankara addresses it in the Bhasha. But these 15 parts of the jiva in the Prashna Upanishad, he lists them. They're prana. First one is prana. Prana is the word for Hiranyagarbha. It means from Brahman comes this whole creation, the whole intelligent creation is called Hiranyagarbha, so the Lord. So, and from that Hiranyagarbha, Imsishwara. From that, he says, Shraddha, come Shraddha. Shraddha, and by Shraddha, he actually means Shraddha. Shraddha means that innate human propensity to do good. That's what Shankara says in the Bhasha. There's an innate human propensity to do good, to do dharma, to follow the Vedas. Because this is Vedic, you know, to follow the Vedas, to choose right action. So, why does a person have Shraddha, that type of Shraddha, that gives you the inclination to do good, to follow the golden rule, to do what is right, this type of thing? So that Shraddha, that becomes one of the 15. So from Hiranyagarbha, from the Lord, comes this Shraddha. Then come the five elements. Kam is space, Vayu, wind, the wind, Jyoti is fire, Apaha, water, Prithivi is the earth. So from Hiranyagarbha, then comes the Shraddha. Then these five elements. And the five elements that go into making the indriyas, which are next, the indriyas are the for the human being, that the five sense organs that allow you to perceive, and the five organs of action that allow you to act. So come the indriyas, then come the mind. Okay, so we're still subtle, the indriyas and the mind. And then comes food, physical world, the food. And from food comes viryam, the energy. You know, the energy because of being able to, the body comes from food, but then by eating food, you get energy. And from that energy, you're allowed to do tapas, to do austerities. You know, again, to follow dharma, to do austerities, to do tapas. And then also mantras come, all of the mantras from the Rig Veda, Yajur Samaveda, all of the mantras. Then with the mantras come the karmas. The karmas are all of the rituals. Right? And from doing these rituals, all of the rituals, come all of the worlds that you find yourself in, right? Because of reincarnation, you take body after body after body, you go to world after world after world. So really these 15 elements are kind of looking at all the parts of the jiva that are responsible for you as an intelligent being who's united to the whole. Okay? So if you take it like that, from Ishwara come the five elements, come the indriyas, the organs of action, and the sense organs and the organs of action. Then comes the mind. Then comes food. Then comes the energy, the strength. Then comes tapas, your austerities. Then comes mantras and karmas. It's not then. Then there's mantras and karmas and all of the worlds. All of this, all of these elements. These are 15. These 15 elements make up the jiva. And there's one more, he says, and that's nama. Then we give you a name. Chuck. Nama. Right? Your name. You're given a name. So here where he says, Yajnavalkya, Devadatta, there's some regular names in India. Okay? So now, okay, these are the 15 elements. So now, these 15 elements, what happens for the Jivan Mukta when the body dies, when the prarabdha is gone? Well, the prarabdha, the karmas that caused you to take this body, those are, when they're exhausted, they're gone. Those are gone by exhaustion. But all of the other karmas, let me go back to the first line. First it says, all of these 15 parts, Kalaha, Panchadashaha, all of these go back to their elements. The indriyas go back to their devatas. So try to get a picture of this. There is you in this creation as a jiva, and the creation that you're in is Ishwara. So here's the jiva in this body. This body is the jiva, and this jiva is part of Ishwara. You're a living body within Ishwara. Now, if we say the karmendriyas and the jnanendriyas, the organs of action and the sense organs, go back to their respective devatas, what it means is they go back to Ishwara. So let me explain. For instance, the devata of the ears, which is responsible for hearing. The devata for the ears is the dik devata. Dik means the four directions. So the four, there's a devata for the four directions. And so space is responsible for hearing. And so when this body dies and there's no more transmigration, then what was hearing for the individual now goes back to what is hearing for Ishwara, which is the four directions. So what is the equivalent of ears for the individual are the four directions for Ishwara. What is equivalent for the eyes seeing for Ishwara is Surya, the sun. And so when these eyes are no more, where does the sense of sight go? It goes to Ishwara, to the sun, the Surya Devata. For the sense of touch, the devata is vayu, and so wind. And so when this goes, when the sense of touch goes, what is left is Ishwara's sense of touch. Right? What the devata that was responsible for the sense of touch of the jiva is what is left. It's the equivalent for Ishwara. See what I mean? So if you say the quarters are left, when the jiva goes, the quarters are left for hearing. Surya, the sun, is left for seeing. Space, wind is left. The vayu devata is left for the sense of touch. Varuna, the god, the devata for waters, is left for the sense of taste. And what's the last one? The earth. The Ashwins, for the sense of smell. The Ashwins are a devata, they're twin devatas. And they represent the sense of smell. But you have to understand, you have to kind of get a vision of this. How they look at their cosmology or their mythology, if you want to say, is if all of these components do not transmigrate, they no longer hold together as a jiva. The jiva has come to an end. Then all of the parts that make you up as a jiva, where are they going to go? They'll go back into their sources. And so what is the source of sight? Well, it's Ishwara's power of seeing. Right? Your source of sight is the Lord's power of seeing. What do they say is the devata? The devata for that power of seeing? Surya, the sun. Right? What about the sense of touch? Where would the sense of touch go? Right? It has to go back to its pratishtha. It's got to go back to its source. So vayu is the first of the elements that you can feel. Right? And so vayu is the Lord of touch. So that element will go back to to its own devata. It's a way of saying that what was once a jiva, which was what that the qualities and the capacities that were once in the form of the jiva are now Ishwara. Right? What was once collected together as little capacities in the jiva are given back to their sources as Ishwara. So for the karmendriyas, the jnanendriyas, the manas, the mind, all of them go back to their original sources. It says also the karmas. They'll say, it's often a question that's asked from a Hindu point of view, well, what will happen to all of the karmas? Right? Because not only all of my karmas. Because some of the karmas that I've collected, I'm exhausting now. It's the prarabdha karma. These karmas have caused me to take this birth, and they take me all the way through to my death. And so as I live out these karmas, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausting them. But I've accrued a huge amount of punya and papa, limitless. All of those are in my sanchitta file, right? They're all stored there. So what's going to happen to all of those karmas, right? And what about any karmas I might continue to do? What's going to happen to all of those? Because I'm collecting, am I not collecting punya and papa? So he says, all of the karmas, together with that atma, the Atma that is the Vijnana Maya that's manifest, the Atma, the self that's manifest in the mind, in the Buddhi, as the Ahankara. Right? The Karta. The Karta, the doer, is the one who's manifest in your Buddhi, that as an Ajnani, you believe is you. Right? I do this, I think that, I'm responsible for this action, I'm responsible for that action, I'm the one who am collecting all these karmas. That's the Vijnana Maya Atma. Right? That's the self, your self, that is taken to be the Buddhi. So that's the Karta, right? That's the doer. And so the doer and the karmas, the doer and the karmas of the doer, so the karmas and the Vijnanamaya Atma, both of those, along with all of the indriyas, all of these things go back to their source. But what is the source of the Ahankara, of the Vijnanamaya Kosha, which enjoys consciousness, with that Atma in the Vijnanamaya, in the Buddhi? What is the source of that? Is the Atma. And so now, when this body comes to an end, when all the karmas have been exhausted, what happens to then, where does that Ahankara and Vijnanamaya go? Where does it resolve? It resolves into the Atma, into which it is already resolved. By that I mean, for the Jivan Mukta, the one who's living liberated, when that person, even though you have a body and mind and sense organs here, the Vijnanamaya Kosha is here, all of it is here, the Ahankara is here as a burnt seed, you still do things, you still function, but what is the self-identity for that I? For that I, it's Brahman, right? For the jnani, when you say I, where does it land? When you say I and you mean the word, you're not just saying I am going to the store, but the I, who am I, myself, where does that land? What is it labeling? It's labeling Brahman, now here itself. It's labeling myself as Brahman because that is who I am. And so myself is already properly labeled. The Ahankara is already properly addressing, labeling myself. It's not landing on the body or the mind or the sense organs. It's resolved into myself. Now, that's how it is now. Now, the body dies. What's going to happen to that Ahankara? It will stay where it is. It's already where it's supposed to be. It's already properly labeling me. See what I mean? And so when we say it becomes one, all of these things become one with the Atma. They're already one with the Atma, but the difference is that they were existing as in Mithya, in Maya. And they no longer exist. They go back into their respective elements. So there basically is no Jiva left. There's no Jiva left. I am left. I am not a Jiva. Right now, when you say me, the self that you're referring to, you're not a jiva. A jnani would never say, I'm a jiva. I'm not a jiva. I'm Brahman. That means that the self that you are, you have recognized as Brahman, the limitless changelessness of your being. And that's where the identity is. And so these elements, all of the different 15 elements, including, can I say 16, including the nama, the name, all of these go back to their respective parts. And what is left is Ishwara. That's what's left. The elements that make me a jiva go back to the elements that are Ishwara. And then who am I? I am the self of the whole. I am the whole. And so that's what's brought out here. And then in the next verse, the question is, well, can you give me an example of that? So it goes, Yathānajyasyandamānasamudre astam kachanti nāmarūpe vihāya astam kachanti nāmarūpe vihāya tathā vidvān nāmarūpād vimuktah tathā vidvān nāmarūpād vimuktah parātparam purusham upaiti divyam parat param purusham upaiti divyam says, yata nadyaha syandamanaha samudre astam gachanti nama rupe vihaya tata vidvan nama rupat vimuktaha vidvan nama rupat vimuktaha parat param purusham upaiti divyam. He says, Upanishad says, yata, just as nadyaha rivers, syandamanaha samudre, just as rivers which are syandamanaha, they're flowing, the rivers are flowing samudre into the ocean, locative samudre. So just as rivers which are flowing into the ocean, astam gachanti, they become invisible. They disappear. Astam gachanti. They become totally sublated. They disappear. Astam gachanti. Namarupe vihaya, giving up their name and form. So just as rivers flowing into the ocean they disappear, having given up their name and form. Tata, similarly, vidvan, the wise person, the person who has the jnana nishta, vidvan, namarupat vimuktaha, liberated from name and form, namarupa, namarupat, ablative, vimuktaha, the vidvan, liberated from name and form, parat param purusham upaiti divyam, that one goes to, said the vidvan, he attains that purusham, divyam, which is consciousness, the purusham, which is divyam, self-effulgent, which is parat param, which is beyond maya, beyond the, beyond parat, when you say parat param, beyond, greater than the greater, but it's a phrase that means beyond maya, or beyond the objective, beyond the unmanifest. And so here, okay, it's all analogies have their limitations, but it is a really beautiful analogy. If you think of the ocean, the samudra, the ocean, as Ishvara, as the whole, it is the manifestation of, it is the whole body of water. So all water is in the ocean. And the rivers flow into the ocean, right? They haven't become the water. They're already the water. But as they're outside of the ocean, as they're separated by nama-rupa, they seem limited. The small rivers need to join the whole ocean. Actually, in reality, there's only one water there. But the water in the form of the ocean is the whole. The water in the form of the rivers, it has a limited nama-rupas, limited name and form. And so these limited names and forms are given up to become the whole ocean, right? The water isn't given up. The water, whether it's in the form of the river or if it's in the form of the ocean, is only water. But what is your upadi? What is the upadi? Is the upadi, I am the whole, I am the ocean? Or is the upadi, I am the little river? Right? So now the jnani upadi recognizes, I am the water. But they still have the river upadi. They still have the limited upadi. But when the limited upadi is given up, then, it's still, I am the water, but my upadi, the upadi is the whole, is the ocean. There is no more for me. There is no, once the upadi at the parantakale, at the time of death for the jivan mukta, there is no more limited upadi, there's just the limitless upadi of who I am, which is Ishvara, right? So then when you say, now as a jivan mukta, you can say, I am the whole. Because through, by your knowledge, you understand fully that the conscious being that you are is the conscious being of all beings. And so you recognize that, and in terms of the sense organs and sense perception and your sphere of experience, you recognize in terms of your sphere of experience, I am the whole. But you can extend, logically extend your sphere of experience to be the whole, because there's nothing to stop that extension. In other words, if I am the truth of this room, if my being is the truth of this room, my being is the truth of the universe. Because what's to make there be any type of block to that infinite logical extension? So I recognize the truth of that, but from the standpoint of this upadi, this body-mind-sense organs, my experience of the creation is not the same experience that Ishvara has, because my experience is limited by my limited mind and limited sense organs. What is not limited is the self-experience, because the self-experience, the Atma, which is Brahman, isn't bound by time or space. So the self that you are is the self that Ishvara is. It's not like Ishvara has a big awareness and you have a little awareness. There's no time or space in reference to your being. So your being is my being, is the very being of Ishvara. It's not a partial being, it is in total who you are. But the experience of the infinite creation, as long as you have the jiva upadi, you experience it from within, as a jiva, from within the creation, looking out through your limited sense organs and mind. Ishvara's experience is an infinite experience of the whole maya upadi. Right? So it's the difference. Is when you say I am the whole, are you speaking from the standpoint of the upadi? No. Now, I'm from the standpoint of the upadi, I'm part of the whole. Right? But from the standpoint of me, I am the whole. I am the truth of the whole. Right? If the river, that's why the river can say, I am the water. I am the very water which is the water of the whole. The only difference there, upadis are always limited. For this, there's the water over here, and the water over here, and the water over there. In terms of Atma, the self, there is no self over here, and self over here, and self over there, because there's no time or space in reference to yourself. So there's only just one self, period. It doesn't have a right side or a left side or a down. So that self is always whole and complete, and it is what it is. It can't become more, it can't become less. It can't be experienced bigger or less, more. You can't have more of an experience of your being than you already are. It's already total and complete as is. Right? But from the standpoint of the upadi, right? As long as I have an upadi, I'm experiencing the creation from within, from the standpoint of the upadi. Right? What about when this body goes? What about when there is no more upadi? There is no body, there is no mind, there is no sense organs. This upadi is not there. Then what? Then what I am? I'm the ocean then. Then I'm Ishvara. Because what is there is Ishvara. What does that mean? What is there is Ishvara? There's Brahman. Brahman, which is my being, plus this my upadi that is what it is. Unfathomable. We can understand it from reading the Upanishads, you know, descriptively. But to think that you can even imagine the infinite, vast nature of the entire limitless creation is, you know, a tall order. It's a tall order, you know. But so we get that vision from the Upanishads, but you understand it, the truth of it, from your own limited experience right here and now, the satyam mitya of this experience that you're having. The changelessness and the infinite nature of your being, and the mityatva, the apparent nature of this creation. The oneness of the set, the existence that you are, in reference to all of the things that you perceive. So the truth of it all you can understand, but to have an experience, you can understand and have direct, immediate knowledge of. You can't have a direct, immediate knowledge of the whole ocean, of the whole infinite upadi, right? But when this limited upadi is not there, then what is left? What is left is what is. What is left is what is. Whatever Brahman is, whatever is the... You know directly, immediately, what is the self-experience of Brahman, because that is you. What is the Ishvara experience in terms of this infinite maya upadi? That is what it is. That is what it is. But it's not away from you. It's kind of It's hard to, it's impossible to imagine that in a sense. But we have so many illustrations to make us understand kind of the normalcy of it. What may seem overwhelming when you think of it is actually normal because it is actually what you are. By that I mean, I like the illustration of the dream. That you can, first of all, move into a dream and have that be a normal event. That is absolutely bizarre. But we dream, we enjoy it, it's a normal event, there's nothing weird about it at all. Then, not only that, we can take any form in the dream, and that's also fine. It doesn't have to look like us. It could be the same gender, different gender, it could even be an animal. No problem. Still me. And then, we need not take a form at all. We can just be the whole. We can just be the whole environment. That's also absolutely fine, no problem. All of it is me. That's why. All of it is me, whether I'm in the form of the entire dream, without identifying with a creature in the dream. It's me. If I'm identifying with a creature, whatever the creature is, it's me. I could be identified with a building. It's me. Makes no difference. Whatever it is, it's me. And that is the truth. Whatever it is, it's me. That's the reality in this waking state for Jnani. Whatever it is me. Right? There is nothing away from my being. So when we say, I'm in all beings and all beings are in me, that's said over and over in the Bhagavad Gita. That is what we see so clearly. But now it's being said, okay, what happens to the Jnani when, now that you have this knowledge, you recognize I am the whole, you know that your being is changeless and infinite, what happens to you when you die? What happens to all the karmas? Well, all of the sense organs, all of the elements go back to their elements, all of the sense organs go back to their devatas. All of the karmas and the ahankara, where they go, they disappear. The ahankara goes into the self. It disappears into the self. Where do the karmas go? Well, Shankara uses the example of for the vijnanamaya atma. If you have the sun reflecting in a bucket of water, or in a pond, he has uses. The sun is reflecting in a container. He says in a container of water. And the container of water is broken. Where does the reflection of the sun go? It goes back to the sun, right? It's one way of saying that it goes back to the sun. So in the Vijnanamaya Kosha, in this buddhi that reflects yourself and has the ahankara that says, I am the buddhi, I am. When that buddhi dissipates, right? Where does the ahankara go? Where does the reflection, where does that sense of self go? It goes right back to the self, right? Where it always was. Right? It goes to where it always was. Another example here he uses, these are the examples that are actually used all the time. I'll do it in the Sanskrit, you can see it's very nice. The next one he says is like this. Gatadi apanaye eva akashe gatadi akashaha. He says, just as when a pot, gata is a pot, apanaya means destroyed. Just as when a pot is destroyed, he says, like when a pot is destroyed, Eva, like when a pot is destroyed, akashe, into the space, gatadi akashaha. How the space goes into the space, how the space of the pot goes into the big space, the mahakasha. When the pot is broken, the pot space goes into the space. You see that? When the pot is broken, the pot space goes into the space. What's really happened? Nothing has happened. But for the Jnani now, nothing will happen. because the identity of the self is already with Brahman. So now when the body drops off, the mind drops off, nothing happens to your self, sense of self, because it's already been differentiated. You know, you are as you are. You are as you are. There is no becoming one. It's that the oneness is all that is always there is now not covered by an upadhi. And the other example he uses here, he says, which I just told you, jaladi adhara apanaye eva. He says, just like when the container, an adhara, just like when a container of water, etc., just like in the, when it's broken, apanaye, suryadi patibimbaha, the reflection of the sun, right? The reflection of the sun, etc. Surya goes back into the sun. So just like when the pot of water is broken, the reflection of the sun goes back into the sun. What kind of a going back into the sun is it? You know? What reality did the reflection have in the first place? So the two examples are a little bit different. They try to make you see the same thing. Because here there's a sun as though reflected, right? That's the ahankara, right? But when that buddhi is gone, what is left is the truth of what was there in the first place. That's the eki bhavanti. That's the becoming one. It's the becoming, it's the satya mitya. It's the becoming one of something that was always one. It's the becoming one through the removal of ignorance to make you think that there was two. Right? So that becoming one is the recognition of the one that was always there. But the thing is that now the upadhis, the conditioning adjuncts, are completely removed. So for the jivanmukta, that one, that jivanmukta goes to the purusha, becomes the purusha, that is the very self of maya, paratparam, this paratparam, the very being, the very truth of the maya upadhi itself. So I am the self, the one who is the very truth of all of this, that I become that. For the jivanmukta, even for the ajnani, I already am that. For the jivanmukta, while living, I know I am that, I am that, I function for myself as that. But when the upadhi is gone, there's no more limiting adjunct there to stop me from just simply abiding as Ishwara. There is no identification with any type of limited upadhi. So, that's what it is. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha. Harihi Om.